about the Lord. Amen, amen, amen. If you have your Bibles, praise you, Jesus. We're going to continue in the book of Matthew, chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. And we'll begin at verse 14. We'll begin at verse 14. I've been living in Warner Robins, this area, for about 25 years. And the weather here doesn't know anything about time. We used to have this nice bush outside our yard. I can't remember. And it would flowers. One had some nice red or pink flowers, and they would be big and beautiful, and the other one had white. And all of a sudden, the weather would get all nice. The flower would just bloom. You're enjoying it. You go to bed. You get up the next morning, and it's brown. Because around here, time doesn't work. But you know something? We need to realize everything happened in God's time, no matter what Georgia weather gives us. But the Pharisees went out and conspire against him, how to destroy him. Remember, he just spoke to the man with the withered hand in the sanctuary, healed him, and they should be rejoicing. And instead of rejoicing, they want to get rid of him. Jesus, aware of this, withdrew himself from there, and many followed him, and he healed them all. And he ordered them not to make him known. This was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. Behold, my servant who I have chosen, my beloved, with whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he will proclaim justice to the Gentiles. He will not quarrel or cry aloud, nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not quench, until he brings justice to victory. And in his name, the Gentiles will hope. Father, give us something from your word today. Holy Spirit, take control and teach us in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, as we're going through the book of Matthew, I just look for things we can learn from the text. But the Pharisees went out and conspired against him how to destroy him. But Jesus, aware of this, withdrew from there. Because Jesus knew his time wasn't yet. You know there is a time for everything? Even the book of Isaiah tells us there is a time to cry, there is a time to laugh. There is a time to plant, there is a time to read. There is a time for everything. When you are in the will of God, you are in God's timing. Don't care what you decide to do, you are in God's timing. The good thing about Jesus was he knew God's timing. Some of us want to prove who we are. Sometimes we want to prove that we are right. Sometimes we want to show that we know what the Word of God says. And we want to tell people we are doing what God calls us to do. Jesus could have stand up and say, hold on a minute, I am the Messiah. Hold on a minute, I am the Son of God. Who do you think you are? I am here to accomplish the Father's task. Some of us do that. But Jesus, knowing his time was not yet, withdrew. I don't think you're hearing me. Sometimes the best thing you can do in any circumstance is to withdraw. Sometimes the best thing you could do is take your hands off and move away. In about 1985, my brother was still back in Trinidad. He was beaten by two brothers. He went to his car. He got his knife, because we all, back then, we all carried a Rambo knife. We so wanted a Rambo. After Rambo came out, we all went out and bought Rambo knives. He took that Rambo knife and he used it. He ended up spending 24 years in prison. Sometimes the best thing you can do is remove yourself from the situation and say, it's okay. Jesus withdrew himself. Now, here's the thing. Jesus knew about timing. He knew what the Father timing is. He knew exactly. He says, I do what the Father tells me to do, and I do what I see the Father is doing. Jesus knew. How many of you know the timing of God? Jesus went into the temple. He saw all them selling stuff. He said, what are you guys doing? He took a whip, and he chased them out. He didn't withdraw then. He saw how they were treating the Father's house. He knew that was not how it's supposed to be. And he took the whip and he drove them out. He didn't withdraw then. He knew what timing was all about. Folks, be in God's timing. Allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. Because when the Holy Spirit speaks to you, you're going to know when to withdraw and when to advance. Jesus understood, in spite of trials and persecution, he must keep carrying on the Father's business. You think he would have withdrew and he'd have go to find a nice Hilton hotel. And because he's Jesus, he'd have get the nice suite and kind of stay there. No, he withdrew, but he carried on the Father's business. It said, and many followed him and he healed them all. And many followed him, and he healed them all. Jesus was still doing what the Father called him to do in spite of persecution, in spite of stepping back. He still was about his Father's business. I remember maybe 20 years ago, I am ministering in this church. I got very hurt. I was hurt by the church. I mean, when I say hurt, I was done. I said, Lord, no more ministry for me. I'm going to find a church, and I'm going to sit in the back row. I'm only going to go to church on Sundays, and I'll get there late, and I'll leave early. Because I felt persecuted and I felt like they were pressing me down and I was so hurt. And I went to this church and I sat in the back row, planning to do nothing, planning to just, Lord, it's over. I no longer want to be about your business, because you see your people, I can't take them. Up to this day, I can't remember how I got from the back seat to up front. Leading worship, preaching. You see, when you have the Holy Spirit in you, because Jesus, he didn't start his ministry until the Holy Spirit came upon him. When you have the Holy Spirit, you don't have any chance in the game, because you're going to always be about your Father's business. Folks, it doesn't matter what is going on in your life. You must always be accomplishing what God calls you to accomplish. Well, Lord, look, Lord, I have no money. Lord, I just lost my job. Lord, whatever, you fill in the sentence of what's going on in your life that is keeping you from doing what God called you to do. They wanted to kill Jesus, and Jesus withdrew without a fight, but yet he was still doing what God called him to do. Jesus knew who he was. I remember I took George to this church to hear this preacher in Macon. And we got there, and the whole message was, do you know who you are? When I said that was the whole message, that was the whole message. The man said that about 1,000 times. Do you know who you are? Then you have it. I am a child of God. Here's my question for you this morning. Do you know who you are? Because if you know who you are, you will be walking like who you are. Jesus said, Matthew tells us, behold, my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved in whom my soul is well pleased. I have put my spirit upon him, and he will proclaim justice to the Gentiles. Jesus knew who he was. He knew he was the Son of God. He knew he had a mission. He knew that he had to do what the Father sent him to do. Do you know who you are? Jesus knew who he was. He was the Son of God, and God had put his spirit upon him. And here it is in verse 19. He will not quarrel or cry aloud, nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets. You know something about us? We like to be seen. You know that? We love to be seen. We love to get the attention. Ask Jill, when I'm home, I act a fool. I try to get the attention, you know. And Jill will say ever so often to Anya, pay him no mind. So I'll be playing the fool, and they will try to pay me no mind. And it's the more I play the fool, because I'm going to make sure I get their attention. That's a little funny, but you know, we do that in real life. We want the spotlight on us. We want the attention. And when we do that, we do things that we shouldn't do. We get loud and boisterous because we want people to know how much we know in the Word of God. We want to know people to know how holy we are, so we're going to voice it out there. Why don't you just try living it? Now, Jesus, let me tell you, Jesus was God. He could have put a nice little halo around his head and walked the streets, and then I know he was God. When he speak, the houses could have shake, and they didn't know he was God. Some of us wish we had that power, because we would use it because we want to be seen. We want to make noise. You know, one of the things they were expecting in the Messiah, that he was going to be militant. You know that? They was expecting that Messiah to come, and he was going to rouse up an army, and there would be noise of the army, and he was going to defeat the enemy. But when he came as the suffering servant. Some of us just don't like to suffer. But this is what I believe God has for some of you all today. A He will not break. And a small, that word, wick, he will not quench. What does that mean? You know, what does that mean? You know, my whole week, that's what I was meditating on. What does this mean? How can I apply this? What am I going to tell these folks about this? Well, I used to do landscaping. When I first moved to Warner Robins, I did landscaping. And I was head of the mowing crew. And every so often I would weed eat. And I'd get that weed eater. And you know, weed around those big trees. You know that weed eater would just wreck that bark off of that thing sometimes. I didn't mean to do it. But ever so often I got too close. You know that big tree never died? 2-3 weeks later, I saw it either get dark and cover up, or it grow over, or it doesn't. But the tree never died. Why? It was big and strong. And God has some people like that in his army. He has them big and strong. And they could take that weed eater lash, and they could stand firm for what they believe in. He's not talking about a big tree. But there's some plants. If you brush against them too hard, they get a bruise on them. And the bruise is not just skin deep. You know, we think this bruise means skin deep. You know, like when you're running down on the pitch, like when I was riding that motorcycle at about 16 years old, my brother had a motorcycle, and I'm riding it, and I turned the corner, there was gravel. The bike went down, and I got bruised. No bones were broken. I was just bruised. I got up and I kept doing what I wanted to do. In fact, people were watching, so I didn't cry. But this bruise is on the inside. This is not an outward bruise. This is a bruise on the inside. Do you know when that delicate thing get bruised, any breeze could come and it will just bend over like that and die. Or if anybody else come by and brush it, it falls over, it dies. And here the scripture said, a bruised reed, he will not break. Some of us, as believers, we are in a state that inside, we are bruised. There's things going inside us that we feel at any moment, the slight breeze can make us tip over and die, could make us put up our hands and give up. But what Jesus would say to you, he didn't come to break you, but he comes to protect you. How does Jesus do it? He takes up the course of the fragile, the vulnerable. I think what Jesus does is he comes and he overshadows you. We just sing a song about the wings. He put it over you so when the breeze blow, you can still stand. That when that person comes by to rub up against you, he's right there and he's going to take that little hit for you because he knows that you are so tender. At that time, he can take care of you. What is it in your life today that is you are at the point, you know that inside you are all messed up. You look good. You know when you bruise that plant and you leave the people's property, it looks good. And you're hoping it stay up long enough that they don't notice it for about the next week so that they don't know you did it. Some of us come to church like that all the time. We come to church and we hope nobody sees what's going on the inside. We hope nobody pushes you in the wrong way. We hope that no more weight is laid upon us. But Jesus came to do what? He didn't come to break you. You may feel like you're at the breaking point. And Jesus, when will this end? Jesus is saying, I did not come to break you. And a smoldering wick he will not quench. Now, I don't know about you. I don't know if you'll ever light a candle. Some of you like those smelly candles. But ever so often you get one that after a while, because of all the candle that is melted, the wax, you have a little tiny little light that's there. That's what he's talking about. Just enough that you could see it in a distance. It can't even light up a room. Some of you may be feeling like that you have the light of God in you, but it is not even enough to give anybody else light. The little bit you have, you are trying your best to just light your pathway to make it to the next day. Jesus said he's not going to come and go. What he's going to do, he's going to put his hands around you, so the breeze around you, the things that are coming to blow out your light will not do so. This guy said, this is a fire that is nearly out, weak and exposed. Now let's put Jesus in the picture. He comes to the rescue of the smoldering wick. He sees the little spark that has almost disappeared. He sees it and he loves it. And he determines that it will not be snuffed out. Do you know that God is determined that you will not be snuffed out? He will guard it until it flames up again. What does he need to do to protect the smoldering wick? He cups his hands around it, shields it from wind and breath. His big hands form a shield around it. God's hand is big enough for you. I tell you that again. God's hand is big enough for you. You know, there's times in our lives when we are flaming and we feel good and we love it. But there's times in our lives when it's just dim. And we are just hoping to make it to the next day. But I want you to know that God's got you. And it's in his name the Gentiles will hope. You know, all of us should have just, I know I didn't say it very excitingly, but all of us should have just jumped up and dancing when I said that. Everybody should have just, we don't think crazy people in here this morning. Because think about it. We were not part of the Jews. We were not part of the chosen, but Jesus came so that we can have hope, we can have life, we can have eternal life. He came to give us life and life abundantly. So here's the thing. Some of these reed and smoldering wick is not even in the kingdom yet. But God is here this morning. And he wants to transfer you from being just broken to bring wholeness. To bring you from the point where you feel like anything, I can't take anymore. To bring you to the place where you can be that tree. That when I come with that weed eater and I give you a few good whacks, you'll stand. If you're here this morning and you don't have that hope that Jesus come to give us I encourage you to do so. I encourage you because Jesus died so that you would have life and life everlasting. Jesus can change your circumstances. He can. And that's what he came to do. He came to change your residency from this world to his world. Are you ready for that? Because sometimes I feel just like that song. I am weak, but he is strong. And I need Jesus to keep me from all wrong. So as we close today, we want to sing that song one more time. If we all will stand and sing this song together. So walk with thee, just a closer walk with thee.